from deep inside your radio.
It's the unequivocal that that really is the problem. Just the unequivocal. Well, that's one of them right there. It's usually the unequivocal. How's that? It's usually the unequivocal statement that's the problem. And, of course, our public dialogue absolutely teems with them. As a result, we go nuts. So, for example, we will never negotiate with terrorists. Dateline Washington. U.S. forces in Iraq are striking a variety of, quote, handshake agreements with Iraqi insurgents and militia groups, sometimes resulting in the release of fighters detained for attacking U.S. troops. U.S. military officials say such informal deals mark a significant tactical shift in the Iraq war. That's all it is. It's a tactical shift. We still will never negotiate with terrorists. That's our policy. But this is just a tactical shift. This represents, according to the Washington Post, a potentially risky effort to enlist former U.S. foes, in the battle against hardline militants. This is despite a White House report last week concluding that a formal amnesty would be counterproductive for Iraq. U.S. military officials believe that successful counterinsurgency campaigns almost always involve some form of forgiveness as a means to ending the fighting. I say kill them all. Anyway, we'll never negotiate with terrorists until we do. And all those who harbor terrorists, we will deal with as equivalent to terrorists. You remember that. That was it's now a golden oldie. Anybody who harbors terrorists will be treated as we would treat terrorists. So this week, the National Intelligence Estimate tells us, if you believe the National Intelligence Estimate, and that's a big if, that Al-Qaeda has a haven, a safe harbor. In Iraq? No. In Iran? No. In Syria? No. In Pakistan. Our ally. The one that, when we decided to invade Iraq, the one that had nuclear weapons already, the one that had warred with its neighbors, the one that had already at that time high-level sympathizers with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So now they've reconstituted like dried orange juice in that nutty area in Pakistan where just 9 months ago General President Musharraf signed a peace deal with the tribal elements, as they're called. But no sooner had the United States issued that national intelligence estimate, then Pakistan bristled and asked Washington to provide it with, quote, actionable intelligence, unquote. We would firmly act to eliminate any Al-Qaeda hideout on the basis of specific intelligence or information, said the Pakistani foreign ministry, meaning you tell us the GPS coordinates and we'll take care of it. You stay out of it. And by the way, don't ask to question AQ Khan. And Pakistan dismissed U.S. officials' comments about striking targets in those nutty tribal areas of Pakistan, where Al-Qaeda has its haven, its safe haven, as, quote, irresponsible and dangerous. Pakistani Foreign Office instead urged prudence and patience. Remember them? They had that hit in the 50s. Patience. That's the new black. That's what the General Odierno asked for this week. More patience on Iraq. We won't know by September. Who said September? Did we ever say September? We meant November. You mixed up your embers. The report this week that teenage sex, which had been plummeting in the past decade, has now leveled off. I know it's an ugly word picture, but you know what I mean. And the proponents of abstinence education, which has been prominent in the last 6 years during the time that the teen sex practices went from reducing to leveling off, the proponents of abstinence education call for more patience. And now the Pakistanis call for patience. We cannot nor should we be expected to take indiscriminate action over a large territory with any precise information about any al-Qaeda hideout, says the Pakistanis. So you give us their address and their phone number, and we'll do the job. Patience. It's the new black. Hello, welcome to the show.
I've got too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching through the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I do not think I did. But the things I think I did when I was a kid. I couldn't understand the words that they were saying. But still I hung around and took it all in. I wouldn't join in with the games that they were playing. It went by, it went by in a flash. It flew by. Far too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it's never too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I think I did. I think I did when I was a kid. What's the things I think I did? I think I did. The things I think I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid.
See, I saved you a trip to Starbucks. From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. It was just about a little less than 10 months ago, a little more, a little less. It was the beginning of September. I had returned from a trip to England. I reported to you about my experience in London's execrable Heathrow Airport. Some people, when I reported this experience on the Huffington Post blog, accused me of being, a crybaby. Today, in the Independent newspaper in London, the headline reads, Heathrow, the world's least favorite airport. It's bursting at the seams, the subject of growing criticism from airlines and passengers over delays caused by security checks and the slow modernization of its creaking infrastructure, despite the fact that the owners of Heathrow, a Spanish company, made profits of over $1 billion last year, which they either are or are not investing in Heathrow. Terminal 2 is a shambles, says one senior airline executive. The airport is in danger of sending out a message. It is not fit for purpose, he continues. And it is the passengers, the airlines, and the United Kingdom economy paying the price. Heathrow has 68 million passengers going through it a year when it's rated for only 45 million. The independent newspaper said it has been told the airport was, quote, at times held together by sticking plaster, i.e. Band-Aids. Four senior executives have left the Heathrow team in the past year, along with a significant number of middle-ranking managers. It's almost as if they don't want to be blamed for something. Heathrow, ladies and gentlemen, the world's least favorite airport. See you there soon. And now, speaking of which, the apologies of the week.
So sorry.
Oh, we got a boatload. Concord, New Hampshire's Little League Board of Directors has formally apologized for the way parents and board members treated umpires at an all-star game for 11 and 12-year-olds last week, heckling them, the umpires, during and after the game, and hitting one umpire with a piece of pizza. Well, weren't we supposed to kill the umpire? That's what I heard when I was a kid. The board hired attorney Jim Rosenberg to look into the incident and recommend whether action be taken against parents, volunteers, or coaches. After the game, which Concord lost 10-9 to Salem, fans tried to start a physical altercation, according to home plate umpire Matt Lemire. He said a league board member pitched pizza at an umpire. Quote, "We are truly sorry that these events transpired at our home field," the board said in its apology. "We are in the process of working through the issues in the hope that we can avoid any future incidents." Daylight Washington, after a profanity-laced altercation with a Capitol Police officer during which he reached to touch the officer's name tag, U.S. Republican Congressman Christopher Shays apologized Friday for acting, quote, "in a way I know was not appropriate," unquote. Who was the Democratic Congresswoman from Georgia who was the subject of a lot louder news reporting when she had a physical altercation with a Capitol policeman? Was it Tammy Faye? No, it wasn't. The 4th District Republican said in a statement, "I take full responsibility for this incident and want to ensure it does not reflect negatively on the officer in any way." Veteran rocker Iggy Pop has apologized for using a derogatory racial term during a live BBC interview at the Glastonbury Festival last month. Real name, James Osterberg, was being interviewed at the event when he recalled visiting, quote, "packy shops." BBC swiftly issued an apology for the singer's use of the disparaging term for a person of Pakistani descent, and now Pop himself has also apologized. A top Boston police officer has been reprimanded for calling rape in a neighborhood with a growing Hispanic population a, quote, "courting ritual," unquote. Robert Dunford, promoted to number 2 spot in the Boston Police Department after 27 years, he apologized Friday. He's been ordered to go through sensitivity training. Japan's outspoken foreign minister apologized this week for joking that, quote, "even people with Alzheimer's disease would know the difference in price between Japanese and Chinese rice." "I have now realized I used an inappropriate allusion, and I'm so retracting my remarks and apologizing to all those who offended," the foreign minister said. Britain's second largest supermarket chain apologized for criticizing the publisher of the Harry Potter books, Asda, owned by Walmart. Said it apologized unreservedly to Bloomsbury Publishing and withdrew a statement accusing the publisher of, quote, "blatant profiteering on its suggested retail price for the latest Harry Potter books." A Montgomery County, Pennsylvania manufacturer allowed the escape of more than 2,400 pounds of toxic gas into the air over a 2.5-hour period, more than 60 times the allowed amount, state officials acknowledged this week. Previously, Department of Environmental Protection said officials had said only that the release of trichloroethylene, a probable human carcinogen, was more than 100 pounds. DEP officials said that the Superior Tube Company apologized for the incident. Next time they'll use Inferior Tube. When a Japanese reporter recently asked Roger Clemens for an autograph, he got a signed photo and a swift penalty. His membership in the Baseball Writers Association of America was revoked. Hiroki Homa said he didn't realize he was breaking the rules, although he took full responsibility and apologized to the New York Yankees. Also on our sports blotter, Michael Vick called Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank and apologized for his indictment on dogfighting charges. Vick is believed to have been contrite on the call, according to ESPN.com. His legal problems won't keep Vick off the team. Anger, hurt, and conciliation washed through a room at Thousand Oaks, California Senior Center, as officials and community members grappled to understand a discussion a month ago that resulted in complaints of anti-Semitism. The June 19th discussion, billed as part of four series on comparative religion, was to focus on the Holocaust. Calls of anti-Semitism arose from both the discussion, led by a senior volunteer, and a flyer promoting the event that included the question, quote, "Did it happen?" Conejo Recreation and Park District officials received calls, emails, and letters from people who were offended. District officials apologized to the crowd, though some members of the audience jeered at them at times. More? Yes, there are more. The BBC has apologized to heavy metal fans after complaints from viewers that the live set by Metallica was not shown in full in its live coverage of Live Earth. Have I used the word live enough in that sentence from Wembley? Apparently they didn't apologize to Spinal Tap fans. The Spinal Tap's set was similarly truncated by the BBC to go to a pre-record from Thailand. The BBC was at pains to point out that the decision was not taken out of prejudice about heavy metal music or any other music. Rather, it was a result of its efforts to broadcast from other Live Earth concerts around the world. However, the BBC did misspell Metallica's name on its complaints website. Not all the tracks by every performer could be featured, but we did transmit a full trail promoting our interactive coverage, where digital viewers wanting to see the performances in full could press the red button at any time. The concerts were very fluid in London, and there was certainly no prejudice about heavy metal or any other music. This is inevitably a fine balance. We cannot please everyone all the time. However, we of course apologize if any particular viewers were disappointed. Again, no apology to Spinal Tap. The operator of a nuclear power plant stricken by an earthquake earlier this week said that the damage was worse than previously reported, clean, safe, plentiful nuclear energy, and that a leak of water was 50% more radioactive than initially announced. Hey, that's a bonus. That's the way I look at it. That's a plus. They plussed up, as the military likes to say. For the third time in 3 days, Tokyo Electric Power apologized for delays and errors in announcing the extent of damage at the plant, which was struck by a magnitude 6.8 earthquake that also struck the rest of the city of Kashiwazaki. The company also said tremors had tipped over 400 barrels of radioactive waste, not 100 as it originally reported, and that the lids had opened on 40 of those barrels. Relax. It's clean, it's safe, it's plentiful. BBC also has apologized unreservedly for airing inappropriate language. The line, "What do you mean, F blank off," in a comedy sketch on a show, The Green Guide to Life, aired at 1 p.m. when children could be listening. The chief executive of Whole Foods Market has apologized to shareholders this week for anonymously posting comments about his company on the Internet, and the Securities and Exchange Commission has launched a probe into the matter. Whole Foods chief executive John Mackey posted messages on a Yahoo message board under an alias for years. He talked up his company while predicting a bleak future for a competitor, Wild Oats, which Whole Foods is now trying to buy. Quote, "I sincerely apologize to all Whole Foods Market stakeholders for my error in judgment in anonymously participating on online financial message boards. I am very sorry, and I ask our stakeholders to please forgive me." Last week, he defended the postings, saying he posted on Yahoo under a pseudonym because, quote, "I had fun doing it." And speaking of fun, the Los Angeles Archdiocese has reached a settlement with more than 500 people allegedly abused by Los Angeles Catholic priest. The settlement will be worth about $660 million. The alleged abuse dated back 60 years. Cardinal Mahoney apologized to the victims, pledging that the abuse, quote, will not happen again. Well, they're not children anymore, Cardinal, so you know it won't. Quoting the Cardinal again, "There really is no way to go back and give them that innocence that was taken from them. The one thing I wish I could give the victims, I cannot," Cardinal Mahoney said. Well, how about sending the perpetrators to jail and those who protect? It's the largest payment by the U.S. church since the abuse scandal began. Hey, you know, L.A. is kind of abuse central right now. Apology central right now. No, scandal central right now. I'll get it right. Because, you know, nothing makes people in Los Angeles pay attention to local news like a scandal in City Hall. And suddenly, Jay Leno is doing jokes every night about Mayor Villaraigosa and his affair with a woman who used to cover him, journalistically, of course, for a local Hispanic TV channel. And now this, with the Catholic priest and the settlement and the thing. The latest settlement does call for the release of confidential priest personnel files. That'll be good. Might want to read those. Might want to have a staged reading of those. Those might be very, very cute. Just a little more information about the settlement. The L.A. dog trainer estimates that the archdiocese has real estate holdings worth more than $4 billion. Though it has always been the position of the archdiocese that insurance companies must honor their responsibility to fund a major share of settlements. That's right. Let the insurance companies pay the victims of priest sexual abuse. It won't affect the rest of our premiums. The archdiocese must also be prepared to fund its share of these settlements, Mahoney said. This will require the archdiocese to begin to dispose of non-essential real estate properties in order to raise funds for the settlements. The archdiocese, its insurers, and various orders have paid already more than $114 million to settle 86 claims so far. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. A copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And exactly how will the church dispose of those properties?
What started out as a nasty lawsuit is ending up as your real estate opportunity of the year. Hi, Tom Clay with news of a property auction so big it could make the Pope poop in the woods. How would you like to own a former parochial school with the latest in athletic facilities and audiovisual equipment? Think of the possibilities. You know the former owners did. That's why it's got to be sold before August 31st. How about a high-rise building formerly used only by celibate administrators, or a mini car wash just purchased as an investment? And what an investment it was. It could finance the refurbishment of your very own vestry. Just a fraction of the properties that must be liquidated at this once-in-a-lifetime so far auction event. The Los Angeles Archdiocese, one of the biggest in the world, has got to slim its real estate portfolio to meet pressing legal obligations. And the victim's loss can be your gain. Half a hundred premium Southern California properties, many never on the market before, must find new owners or it's bishop in a jumpsuit time. Supermarkets, mini malls, warehouses, and premium residential. If the church bought it, it's all here. Terms, you call the tune. You're dealing with the most motivated seller since Adam had to unload his garden apartment. Remember, if the church considered it non-essential, you'll find it here. We're talking everything but the name. Sure, it takes the success builder gene to look at a freestanding nail salon and see dollar signs, but this is the real estate portfolio that built a cathedral. It can do the same for you. When these properties are gone and the plate is paid off, there won't be another opportunity like this until the next archdiocese is settled. So act now. View the properties online at file.com. That's P-H-I-L-E.com. That's where you can sign up for the auction and get your free virtual bidding paddle. Then August 31st, go online and stake your claim to the biggest gold rush since Diddy got his first royalty check. Prime Southern California properties, price to move. And it's all for the kids. Presented by Mahoney & Mahoney, auctioneers to the perps.
Told you so. And if I ever hurt you, you know I hurt myself as well. Is that any way for a girl to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? Said I love you more than you'll ever know, more than you'll ever know. Mm-hmm. and I wasn't making too much money. You know where my paycheck went. I brought it home to you, baby. I never spent a red cent. Is there any way for a girl to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? Said I love you more than you'll ever know.
This is Le Show, and ladies and gentlemen, just a snapshot of the new Iraq, for your listening pleasure. Our American ambassador to Baghdad, Ryan Crocker, has asked the administration to take an unusual step. We should grant immigrant visas to all Iraqis who've worked for us in Iraq. This should please the right wing, because of growing concern that they will quit and flee the country if they cannot be assured eventual safe passage to the United States. Well, that sounds like a cool place to work and live. The administration has admitted all of 133 Iraqi refugees since October, despite predicting it would process 7,000. Our Iraqi staff members work under extremely difficult conditions. I thought it was getting better. And are targets for violence, including murder and kidnapping. I thought it was getting better. Unless they know that there is some hope of an immigrant visa in the future, many will continue to seek asylum. That, ladies and gentlemen, should tell you all you need to know. But it doesn't, and it won't. Now, it's time for me to read the trades for you. kind of juicy in Tradesville this week. First, from Multichannel News, which covers the cable industry. Hence the name. Biography Channel begins multi-million dollar rebranding effort. Well, it gets better, believe me. Just wait till I read it for you. The Biography Channel would put truth behind its new positioning in a multi-million dollar network rebranding effort starting this week. The channel will be renamed Bio. The network will emphasize true story celebrity profiles and reality programming. You know, finally somebody has figured out what we don't have enough of on TV. Sorry, that was an interpolation. Ranging from the classic biography programs, which formed the basis of the channel's founding, to a talk show about notable celebrities hosted by William Shatner. More Shat on TV. There's already competition in the, quote, truth category. Turner Broadcasting System last week recast its court TV network as True TV, TRU, which will follow the exploits of feuding families, oil drillers, outlaw chasers, and other real people. In Bio's case, the emphasis on truth comes as the network looks to draw more viewers. Really? I thought they were trying to draw less viewers. Silly me, particularly in prime time. Quoting A&E Executive Vice President Bob DiBittito, in today's hyper-competitive marketplace, brands that don't evolve and keep pace with the wants and needs of viewers run the risk of becoming irrelevant. Whether it's famous people, investigators, criminals, or psychic investigators, we know that the truth is more entertaining than fiction, said VP of Marketing Guy Slattery, saying what he knows. The centerpiece of the original lineup is the talk show built around William Shatner, tentatively titled William Shatner's Raw Nerve. It's not going to be your typical celebrity junket show. He's going to get the most interesting, unusual celebrities and notable people. So says Rob Chernow, head of programming at Bio. Other original shows on the docket include Small Medium at Large, featuring 4-foot-tall medium Anne Morse channeling the spirits of dead celebrities. I'm reading this. I'm not writing it. The network will also seek to improve its appeal with its core audience of 25 to 50-year-old women by potentially launching an HD channel. Yes, it seems like a non sequitur, just because it is. And in the advertising world, brand identity, as if you didn't already know, is everything. Since the U.S. military invaded Iraq in 2003, its Show of Force brand has proved to have limited appeal to Iraqi consumers, according to a recent study commissioned by the United States military. Yes, marketing studies by the military. What's your problem with that? This is from the Washington Post. The key to boosting the image and effectiveness of U.S. military operations around the world involves shaping both the product and the marketplace and establishing a brand identity that places what you're selling in a positive light, says clinical psychologist Todd C. Helmus, the author of Enlisting Madison Avenue, the 211-page study for which the U.S. Joint Forces Command paid $400,000. It was released this week. Helmus and his co-authors, yeah, don't just blame him, concluded that the Force brand, which the United States peddled for the first few years of the occupation, was doomed from the start and lost ground to enemies' competing brands. While not abandoning the more aggressive elements of warfare, the report suggested, a more attractive brand for the Iraqi people might have been, quote, We will help you. Helmuth acknowledged it could be too late for extensive rebranding of the U.S. effort, but he still cashed the check. No, sorry, that's me. Walmart's desired identity as a friendly shop where working-class customers can feel comfortable and find good value would be undercut if telephone operators and sales personnel had rude attitudes. For the U.S. military and U.S. officials, understanding the target customer culture is equally critical, says the study. Helmuth recommends expanding military training to include shaping and branding concepts. The study underscores the perils of failing to understand your consumer. Certain things do not translate well, the study warned. A gesture Bush made during his inaugural parade in 2005, the University of Texas Hook'em Horn salute with raised index and pinky fingers stands for the sign of the devil in some cultures. Yeah, this one. And an indication of marital infidelity in others. A leaflet dropped to intimidate Iraqi insurgents, the study noted, also reached non-combatants and gave everyone who picked it up the evil eye. The challenge was to find something we can learn from Madison Avenue or from the marketers, the best in the world, that might help us when we're trying to deliver a message about what democracy is. Helmuth says the U.S. military and civilian authorities must stop thinking of themselves as a, quote, good idea factory whose every thought has greater merit than those of their customers. Not even Procter & Gamble does that, he says. Something to think about, ladies and gentlemen, when I read the trades for you, which is why I do it. It's a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. The University of Pennsylvania this week was the site of the latest taping for a broadcast I'm guessing that you have never seen. I'd be interested if anybody in this audience has seen it. It's called Dan Rather Reports, and it's on the HD Net, which is available to... Well, it's not available. It's marketed to everyone who has a high-definition television. No, not high-definition radio. That's what you're listening to now. And on this edition of Dan Rather Reports, the venerable journalist exiled, of course, from CBS a couple years ago now, and recently in the news for his denunciation of his former home as having, quote, dumbed down and tarted up the CBS Evening News, unquote, denounced for being a sexist on the basis of that remark. The Evening News, of course, now being anchored by Katie Couric. On that broadcast this week of Dan Rather Reporting, Mr. Rather had as his guest another anchor, formerly of Network Precincts, now on occasional duty at Discovery Networks, Ted Koppel. So the discussion, obviously, is going to be broadcast, though no one living now can see it. But to find out what happened afterwards, one might need another episode of High Def Dan next here on the show. So, Brother Koppel, what's your pleasure? A cappuccino? Box of wine?
Well, I'm just thinking, Brother Rather, that... A couple of years ago, we would have been meeting at, China Grill, Aquavit, the Four Seasons. Now it's in the vending machine room of a college in Pennsylvania.
And you know something, Brother Koppel? Aside from the noticeable step down in the level of service, I prefer it this way. Well, no former actor turned network presidents to kowtow to, no mouse to please.
Well, of course, but... I'll have the box of wine.
All right, I got this. You were my guest.
No argument.
There you go, sir. The best Pinot Noir upstate New York has to offer in a box.
Thank you. So, Dan, that was a lovely interview. Well, that's a side of you we didn't see enough of.
Coming from you, sir, the preeminent interviewer since Torquemada bought the farm, that is a supreme compliment. But if I may put a ribbon on the pony, there were many sides of me you didn't see back there. You never did your Donald Duck imitation on Nightline, either.
No, sir, I did not. Mm-hmm. But I guess the whole contretemps about your description of your former broadcast as dumbed down and tarted up has blown over.
Let's put it this way, Hoss. It's been downgraded to a tropical depression.
Well, that's good.
You know, a decade ago I said that quote more often than a D.C. call girl changes sheets, but all of a sudden, because Sister Corrick is warming the chair until Fearless Leader has a second thought, all of a sudden I'm some kind of sexist.
Well, I think this is why the new breed of television news talent are such bad writers. It's not because they're dumb, although there is that, but they've just been trained by lawyers to avoid writing anything that doesn't have all the zing of a Zoloft.
Of course, don't get me wrong. Choosing Miss Kitty wasn't so much a Hail Mary pass as a Help Me Jesus punt. But you can't blame the girl for the cake she jumped out of.
I couldn't help thinking about what Barbara was thinking when Katie got the job.
Sister Walters?
The two and only. I mean, she's got to be thinking to herself, if I were 20 years younger, I'd be getting that gig instead of refereeing a catfight between the corpulent negress and the adipose friend of Sappho.
I suppose it would, although reality check here, Brother Couple. I don't think Miss Starr and Miss O'Donnell were on The View at the same time.
You have had some time on your hands since you stopped anchoring.
Can't spend all your hours doing high-definition reports. Speaking of which, profuse thanks for doing this interview tonight, Cowpoke.
Well, I do wish we'd been able to wrangle a few more audience members into the corral, Daniel.
Theodore, the number of folks we had in that auditorium tonight guarantees I'll double my previous number.
Not a lot of viewers over on your channel? I mean, I don't get on Discovery all that often. Mm-hmm. They seem to run Shark Week every month now. But when I do, I have to tell you, the email trickle does become a tsunami.
Well, I hope you get food and water to the victims, Brother Couple. No, see, the all high-definition universe can be a cruel one, and not just because a soft-focused lens doesn't cut it in the presentability department any longer.
Well, your friend Brother Schieffer certainly put the knife in Sister Katie with a certain deftness.
Well, sir, he's peeing in his saddle if he thinks they're going to give the anchor chair back to him. Fearless Leader is certainly not going to go distaff one more time when Katie unbars the door, but he's going to go younger than a tadpole's meconium.
I'm sure that's true, Daniel, although I doubt the tadpoles have meconium, strictly speaking.
Mm-hmm. How's that wine treating you?
Best box I've had since I left ABC.
You know, I think Miss Katie is learning one of the iron laws of television. It's harder for Perky to go serious than vice versa.
Well, Ed Murrow didn't look all that believable when he was interviewing Sammy Davis Jr., did he?
No, sir. Been a while since I've seen that tape. Just saying that our friend entered the rodeo a little short of riding weight.
Daniel, this isn't just a matter of evil corporate despots. The fact is, our time is up. We've had a very long stay at the fair, but the party's over.
Yes, sir. They have indeed pricked our pretty balloons.
Yes, they have. Somebody new and stupid was bound to replace us. Who that particular individual turned out to be was just a matter of identity pass lottery, if you will.
Well, Brother Jennings ended up passing the torch to, well, not exactly one of us.
Brother Gibson? Well, true, he's not there for his legs, but the whole point of the enterprise has changed. Nightline's target attention span is now shorter than that of 60 minutes.
Well, it was never about attention span at 60. It was about four-star journalistic storytelling. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's before Brother Cooper, or should that be Sister?
Whatever it was about at 60, I'm very happy to be on a basic cable stud farm. It's a little elitist to be talking only to Lexus owners, but...
Well, at least you have enough viewers to get a sample. Our viewership is just about the size of a sample. Still, I've got full editorial control, so an audience just about the size of a high school graduating class is seeing some kick-butt China rattling journalism. Not China the country. No, sir, although we do have the budget for it if Brother Cuban really believes in the story.
Well, Sir Daniel, I don't want to be late for my train. If I miss it, I have to take the local. Thanks for the wine.
Oh, my pleasure, sir. Thank you for the deep think chit-chat tonight. My best to you and yours.
Same to you, brother, rather.
I believe in the Lord above. I believe you got to fight when push comes to shove. You got to be strong if you want to be free. You got to get you a gun to guard your liberty. If you take that dollar away, I ain't got nothing to say. Cable TV. We got to set for him up for democracy. If you take that dollar away, I ain't got nothing to say. Nothing to say. I believe God gave us this nation to plunder. We got too many birds and not enough lumber. We got too many mountains and not enough foil. We got way too many fish and not near enough oil. Nothing to say. Got something to say. Nothing to say. Just hoping I might give a dollar to you.
got nothing to say. If you take that dollar away, I ain't got nothing to say.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. From the British newspaper, the London Sunday Telegraph, the British government is condemned for failing tens of thousands of people affected by the latest flooding to sweep Great Britain. Government officials were accused of mishandling the crisis and doing little to ensure that areas were properly protected after 3 days of downpours. After the full extent of the latest flooding became clear, swathes of Worcestershire, Gloucestershire, Warwickshire, and Lincolnshire were underwater. The Prime Minister said the flooding was, quote, an emergency that no one could have predicted, unquote. But forecasters had warned officials at the Environment Agency about the risk on Wednesday, 2 days before the first downpour. Does this sound familiar? Now, this is a Labour government, which supposedly believes in the power of government to do something, as opposed to the Republicans in this country who believe in the power of government to do nothing except bring democracy to the Middle East. But still, there were no sandbags in place, no pumps, and no ditches had been cleared. Why wasn't the fire brigade or even the army mobilized? Leaving people stranded on the M5 freeway overnight for more than 15 hours is totally unacceptable, said the opposition leader for the environment. This is the second time in 3 weeks that the Environment Agency has faced criticism over failure to erect temporary flood defenses after it decided not to use them in Worcester in June. An audit report found that 63% of British flood defenses were not properly maintained, and more than $1 billion of flood defense spending did not reach areas most at risk. But they did build a Millennium Dome. Areas still recovering from earlier flooding were engulfed again after vehicles carrying temporary barriers to the towns became stuck in the floods. And from The Guardian, balance in the internal White House debate over Iran has shifted back in favor of military action before President Bush leaves office, The Guardian has learned. Although the Bush administration still has its hands full with Iraq, it remains focused on Iran, a well-placed source in Washington said, quote, Bush is not going to leave office with Iran still in limbo, unquote. It could go to purgatory. That is a possibility. Limbo has been, I believe, abolished? Is that right? Didn't the Pope abolish limbo? So that's sort of stands to reason. We're not going to leave Iran in limbo. News from outside the bubble, now followed by news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm.
Ethanol fuel made from corn may be being seriously, dangerously oversold as a green energy solution, according to a new review of biofuels. The report concludes that the rapidly growing and heavily subsidized corn ethanol industry, thank you, Archer Daniels Midland, will cause significant environmental damage without significantly reducing the country's dependence on fossil fuels. Quote, there are smarter solutions than rushing straight to corn-based ethanol, says Scott Cullen of the Network for New Energy Choices, and co-author of the study. The Vermont Law School Institute for Energy and the Environment also participated in the study. The 27% of the country's corn crop for this year is earmarked for ethanol. But even if all corn grown in the U.S. was used for fuel, it would only offset 15% of our gasoline use. And meanwhile, there's all that runoff in the Mississippi, creating a dead zone in the Gulf. You've heard about that. Sure you have. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, since early 2006 has suppressed warnings from its own field workers about health problems experienced by hurricane victims living in government-provided trailers with levels of a toxic chemical, formaldehyde, 75 times the recommended maximum for U.S. workers. A trail of emails obtained by congressional investigators showed the agency's lawyers rejected a proposal for systematic testing of the levels of potentially cancer-causing formaldehyde gas in the trailers, out of concern that then the agency would, quote, own, unquote, the problem and be legally liable for any hazards or health problems. Also on top of its game, the Department of Homeland Security, a $1.2 billion program to deploy new radiation monitors to screen trucks, cars, and cargo containers for signs of nuclear devices is delayed. Department of Homeland Security officials may have misled Congress about the effectiveness of the supposedly cutting-edge technology. He said it would detect highly enriched uranium 95% of the time. Now, actual rates were as low as 17% and no higher than 50%. Feel safer yet? Sure you do. And so my job is done. That concludes this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations. Over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant, WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz shortwave, on the mighty 104, blanketing Berlin. Around the world, via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. A free download of this broadcast is available for you at www.audible.com/LeShow, and a free podcast is available for you at www.kcrw.com. And it'll be just like feeling safer if you'd agree to join me with that. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much, huh? Email address from this for this broadcast is available right there at harryshearer.com, refurbished for your viewing pleasure. A tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists also available at the aforementioned harryshearer.com. Won't you? The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. As I say, the home, say it along with me now, the home of the homeless. Thank you.